We are in Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Almighty God, come this morning in all of my weakness and frailties of humanity, God, and ask you to come and fill me. Fill me to overflowing with your Holy Spirit. And God, that you would take this servant of yours, this handmaiden who is redeemed by you and belongs to you, God. Take me, Lord, and may I be a useful arrow in your bow, God, to bring forth your word today, that you may be honored, that you may be glorified, and God, for those who will receive it, Lord, may it bless them till the day they see you, Lord. And I just, God, present it to you and say, be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 7, verse 36 through 50 from the New King James Version. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and he sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is, who is touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, teacher, say it. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and another 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house, and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. What does forgiven look like? What does forgiven look like? What does recognition of your own sin look like? If we were to describe it, paint a picture of it, what would these two things look like? What does gratitude look like when your life is spared from deserved wrath, punishment? What does it look like? Let's look at a forgiven woman who knew her many sins and came to find forgiveness and was forgiven. This is such a beautiful picture of what forgiveness looks like. She knew Jesus was at this Pharisee's house. It's what Scripture tells us. And she goes into her home and she gets her alabaster flask of fragrant oil. And in her business, now we know that she had many sins, and we know how the Scripture here leads us to believe what her business was. And so in her business, she needed this fragrant oil. It was very expensive, first of all, to be in that alabaster flask. And it was necessary for her trade. She goes where she has heard that Jesus will be. She's heard that he will be there, the home of the Pharisee. And at his home, the Pharisee, who invited Jesus there for dinner. He has guests there. His servants are there, and all who probably knew her by reputation and sight within that community. There were whisperings, I'm sure, when she walked in, gasping, taken aback, appalled, and judging her. All of this was happening as she walked past them all, as she came into his home, and then she came to the table. She was completely humbled as she walked closer and closer to that guest that was invited, Jesus. This did not stop her. All of this that was beginning to take place within her heart and her mind, all the whispering, all the stares, for she knew her many sins. Even though she had tried to bury them for years, she knew them better than anyone in that room, anyone seated at that table, anyone serving at that table. She knew her sins. And in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, they were revealed to their fullness, to her heart. And her eyes, before her eyes, she could see herself. And she could see the one that she was coming to, and how vile they truly were. She now truly sees them as he sees them. And there was another revelation that she received as she stood at his feet. And that revelation was Jesus himself. His holiness and his righteousness. At that moment, she realized her great need. She realized there in the presence of the Lord that her need was not for money or to be prideful, because she knew that she was being judged, not to be walking with her head held high. And we can go on and on. But what she realized was her need for him. Her greatest need for this woman was forgiveness. And not anyone's forgiveness, but his forgiveness. That's who she had wronged. And that was where all of her sins, the light of Christ was shining on them, was revealing them. He knew them, but he was revealing them to her, and she was not seeing her life as something beautiful, but she was seeing it in the vileness of what it was. She entered and went directly to Jesus. This woman, we knew that she came in, she stood behind him, but quickly this woman went and she bowed herself down at the feet of Jesus because she began to cry. She had tears of repentance when she saw her sin, and they began to come flooding. Her tears were flooding over his feet. She was washing them. It was like a faucet was turned on, and it was washing his feet with the revelation of her greatest need, him. There was no stopping these tears. The floodgate was opened so much so that she had to let down her hair in public to dry his feet from her tears. That was not enough for her, though. In the revelation and understanding of her sin in the presence of the one who forgave her, who is forgiving her, who is loving her, Jesus' love was pouring forth from him to this woman. Remember when the woman touched the hem of his garment, he said, you know, he felt power leave him. And when this woman came in and fell at the feet of Jesus and began her repentance, the love of Jesus was going forth. He was not ignoring her. She had his full attention. Even though he was still sitting there, she had his full attention. And as she was weeping and wiping and kissing his feet, then she opened that alabaster flask, filled with expensive oil, and poured it on his feet. What a beautiful, beautiful, beyond words, public, very public display of worship. A public display of gratitude. She lost all thoughts of herself. The cares, the concerns for position, for her job status. She didn't care. She could not stop herself. Her sin was revealed. She came to the one who could forgive her and love her. She came. She had been hearing about this man, Jesus. She had been hearing. So do you see, the Holy Spirit was already drawing her. And when she heard that he was there, she came. She came to do business with Jesus. And when she did, she gave herself to Jesus. And she was no longer ashamed. Listen, she came in there and everyone had something to say about her within their own thoughts or within their own whisperings to one another. She knew the life that she was living. She knew the person that she was. And she knew what people thought about her. But when she gave herself over to Jesus, and she was no longer ashamed. How many are ashamed of their life? Ashamed of their sins? She was no longer ashamed. But listen to me, an unforgiving life has cause for shame. But a forgiven life has no cause for shame. The world tells you today, do not be ashamed of what you say, what you do, the life you live. They don't call those sins, they call those mistakes. And they say, there's no shame in that. How are you going to repent unless there is shame and you understand the depth of your depravity, the depth of the sin that you are living in? This is a beautiful picture that is recorded here for us. This forgiven life is revealed. Not only did she come and repent in public, offer her worship in public, and display her love in public, receive her forgiveness in public, but she also, in public display, she gave gratitude and praise and worship of the one who has forgiven her. That's what a forgiven life does. I want you to be thinking on this. Go back and read this scripture for yourself and sit before the Lord with this scripture and see if you, at any point in your life, or if you have these feelings of gratitude and recognition of your own sin and worship and praise that is so unhindered that you don't have any shame because you are forgiven. That there is so much overwhelming gratitude and love that being able to display it publicly, you lose yourself in the presence of the Lord. You may say, my personality is shy. My personality is reserved. You may be self-conscious, not Jesus conscious. You may be reserved in the presence of the Lord, and you may be shy in the presence of the Lord around everyone else. But a forgiven life can only be thankful and praise and worship the one who has forgiven them. Thus, she was in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and she was a sinful woman. It's recorded for us, and everyone knew it. It's recorded for us. She was the only one, though. She was the only one in that Pharisee's house. She was the only one who could see that night. She was the only one that had eyes to see. A forgiven, sinful woman saw the Son of God. She saw her need and she knew exactly where she needed to go. What did the head of the house see? Are you able to see Jesus like this sinful woman? Or are you like the Pharisee? What did the Pharisee see? The Pharisee, what did he see? What did he see when he invited Jesus to his house? A man is what's recorded here. Maybe a prophet, but in his opinion, most likely not. He didn't even think that Jesus was a prophet because he didn't know what kind of woman was touching him. It was a sinful woman. See, the Pharisee sat there at the head of his table. He would never have allowed that publicly. The Pharisee, we know, is a religious man. He would have been a law keeper, most likely the ones that he wanted to keep. Most Pharisees are. He was a judge in Israel because there was the whole council. They would have been making judgments. He had a reputation. He had a reputation among the people of God and in the academic world. He had wealth and he had status. He was completely blind. With everything he had that the world thinks is important, this Pharisee was blind. He had no revelation of Jesus. He missed the Son of God sitting at his table in his own house. The Pharisee could not see Jesus in the temple either, where they gathered. He could not see him in his house at his table with everything that was happening. He couldn't see Jesus. All he could do was sit there and judge this woman. And judge himself better as everyone who was gathered at his table. Let me read to you once again. I want to read verse 41. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. This is what Jesus is asking the teacher. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. The one who is forgiven the most is the one who loves the most. And this sinful woman was forgiven much. She was forgiven the most in this house. I want you to understand that Jesus used an earthly example that the Pharisee would understand, that he could understand the forgiveness of debt, monetary debt. any sin, so stop and stop thinking and judging yourself by another person. There is only one way that we can judge ourselves, if that's how you want to say it, or we can measure ourselves. And that's by the Son of God, Jesus the Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. But Jesus used this monetary example for her so he could understand what he was wanting him to see, what was happening before him. Any sin is much sin, much debt. When we look at it from God's perspective, sin is so costly, so costly that Jesus had to come. It's so costly that Jesus had to give his life. I want you to understand that God sees it very differently than we do. Sin compared to his holiness is beyond our understanding. There are those who read in Genesis where Adam disobeyed God, and we think just one little thing, like not eating the fruit from that tree, that Adam was told not to do. That's, we're just like, oh my goodness, that's so, that's no reason. That's what we think in our eyes. But not to holiness. God is holy. He is other than us. And the things that we see, the judgments we make from a fallen perspective. We have to have the Holy Spirit. We have to have the Word of God to know our God and to know His holiness. This woman understood herself and her sins. She understood her need for forgiveness, to be delivered from the weight of her sin. Sin is weighty and it is costly. And so when you see sin compared to holiness, and that is Jesus, you have a whole different perspective. Remember, Samuel said, obedience is better than sacrifice. I want you to think about this. Adam was disobedient. And because of that disobedience, all mankind is born in the image of Adam. So there's not one person who does not need forgiveness who was born in the family of Adam. Adam's sin is what happened to mankind that has brought this woman to Jesus' feet. She is a descendant of Adam. She is a descendant of Adam, and she was born with a sinful nature. She was doing what was natural to her, to sin. And Jesus came to forgive and to deliver and to set free. He came to set the captive free. He came to bring restoration to those who would come to Him, that they would be in a right relationship with God. That's not what Adam, descendants of Adam's, have at this moment until we come to Jesus. But Adam's sin is what brought Jesus to the Pharisees' table and then to the cross. Because of Adam's sin, this woman was there. And because of Adam's sin, Jesus was there. She came needing forgiveness. He came to give, to bring forgiveness. This was God's answer to the sinful woman. The sinless Lamb of God to take away our sin, our guilt, and our punishment. To give us restoration. To lift the burden of sin from us. To restore us, to take away the shame. To put us in right relationship and to give us eternity with Him, not separated from Him. Jesus looked at the woman with His eyes of love and grace flooding over her. I don't know about you, but I know that when I'm in the presence of the Lord, I know by faith I am forgiven. But when I don't let the things of this world hinder me in my prayer time and in reading of Scripture and being with other Christians, just being in the presence of them who have the Lord in them, there is such a joy, there is such a lightness to being a Christian, to being one who has been purchased, who is redeemed, and to talk about Him, to know Him, to declare my love for Him. You may think, well, that's who you are. You're just so charismatic in your behavior. Well, that's not truly who I am. But that is my understanding of what I've been forgiven. And gratefulness, gratitude, I don't even know how to express it. And my love for Him is greater than anything else and everything else. And I am not ashamed any longer. Because He has delivered me from that. He's taken it upon Himself and it's removed. Amen. He looked at the woman and He spoke with Simon the Pharisee. He wasn't concentrating on Simon. His thoughts were on this woman and his attention were on her. And at the same time, He's trying to draw Simon the Pharisee to Himself. He gives him this example. Simon answers his question correctly, and he continues with his lesson. He says in in verse 43 all the way down to 48, he begins to address this so that Simon the Pharisee understands. He says, you know, I came to your house. You invited me. I came to your house, and you have given me nothing. You didn't give me anything. When you go to church, which belongs to the Lord, the church belongs to the Lord, doesn't belong to a person, doesn't belong to a pastor, doesn't belong to a building. It belongs to the Lord. The redeemed belong to the Lord. They are his church. They are his assembly. And he says that you invited me here and you have given me nothing. You did not recognize me even to give me water to wash my feet. When you invite him in, when you're in service, what are you giving the Lord? Are you even recognizing him? He said, you didn't give me any water to wash the dust from my feet. But look at this sinful woman that you are judging. She has washed my feet with her tears and she has dried my feet with her hair. She is worshiping me. How have you worshiped the Son of God, the Lamb of God who has taken away your sins? Do you see him as she did, or do you see him as the Pharisee saw him? Jesus continues addressing Simon the Pharisee. He said, you gave me no kiss of greeting to let me know I was welcome. You gave me no kiss of greeting to let me know I was welcome. When you come into the Lord's presence, when you come into the service gathered with other believers, when there is a time to honor him with praise, with gratitude, with worship, do you kiss him? Do you welcome him? Do tears stream from your eyes? Does love come from your heart? Do you recognize him publicly with a kiss? He says, you didn't do these things for me, but this woman that you have been judging, she has not stopped kissing my feet. Publicly, she's doing all of this publicly. She's not hidden away in her prayer closet like some people who are reserved like to say they do, because they don't want to draw attention to themselves. They make excuses for why they are ashamed of the Lord publicly. Have you worshiped me? Have you welcomed and greeted me with a kiss publicly? Jesus goes on to tell him, he says, Simon, Pharisee, you did not anoint my head with fragrant oil. She has anointed my feet, and the fragrance of her repentance and worship floods up to me. It is a sweet fragrance. What? How have you worshiped the Lamb of God? Have you worshiped him with everything? She has worshiped. She has publicly come into a house where she wasn't welcome, but because they wanted to expose Jesus in their own warped, sinful mind, they allowed her in. She was not shown out, but she came in and put on a show for them. She put on a show of forgiveness. Jesus allowed this to continue because he wanted everyone to see what repentance looks like. He wanted everyone to see what forgiveness looks like. He wanted all of those who sat there who think of themselves as so high and mighty, what a forgiven person looks like, what a person who is loved and forgiven much, what it all looks like. He wanted this to be written and recorded for us that we would understand when we are overcome with tears in the presence of the Lord publicly, that we do not constrained to hold them back. That we do not constrain our tears. That we do not constrain our gratitude. That we do not constrain our love to only be hidden away in a closet. But publicly we declare we are forgiven. And publicly we declare our love. And publicly we express our gratitude and give Him everything. We give Him everything. Have you worshiped? Have you given Him everything? Have you worshiped with everything you have, with all that you are? What a picture for us. She is forgiven for her many sins, for she loves me much. She loves me much, is what he's saying. He's saying, she loves me much. You only think, Simon, that your sins are small. This is for all who are listening, not just Simon the Pharisee. Where are you today? Where are you today with your many sins? Your Pharisee. Many sins. Pharisee. You think to yourself, I'm a good person. I'm a righteous person. I am not going to make a public display of myself for all to see, to think I might be a great sinner, to be humiliated as this woman is here tonight. She has made a spectacle of herself. How many people have you judged in church attendance, at a conference? You might be a little different at a conference. People tend to be a little more different. But how many people do you judge Sunday after Sunday because they cannot constrain themselves? And you think, oh, if they would just be quiet. Oh, if they would not be so emotional. How can you be in the presence of the living God and not be emotional? How can you be in the presence of the Lord God Almighty and tears not flow from your face? John was weeping, falling on his face. He was frightened. He had so many emotions. Read the book of Revelation and see how he expressed them. The Pharisees thinking, she's made a public spectacle of herself, and I'm not doing this. I haven't been forgiven as much as she has, so I'm only going to give you a little in return anyway. You're just lucky that I show up, Jesus. What more are you asking? I want you to see something here that is so amazing. No one had the revelation of Jesus, the Savior, but this woman. No one in that room. The Pharisee who knew Scripture, who knew the Word, and knew that the Messiah was to come, had no revelation. He had no revelation of who that was sitting at his table. But this woman did. This woman who had this great, great need, she had a revelation. But everyone in that room, they began to say, who is this who even forgives sin? They were blinded. Are you blinded? They were sinful. Are you sinful? And they were prideful of heart. Are you prideful of heart? Her sins, which are many, are forgiven, Jesus said to the Pharisee. Are your sins forgiven? Jesus said to her, he said, your sins are forgiven. Are your sins forgiven? Has Jesus said that to you? He told her, he said, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Has Jesus saved you? He said, your faith has saved you. Her faith was in him. Has your faith saved you? Do you publicly, unashamedly show your humility, your gratitude, your praise, and your worship? Do you give Him everything? What are you reserving for yourself? And what good is what you are reserving for yourself? Do you still walk out as burdened as you did when you came in? When you finish this short message, sit down and read this and ask the Holy Spirit to do a new work in you, that you are this woman. Do you have a revelation of Jesus? That's what I want you to understand with this. With the sinful woman and the Pharisee who knew the Word of God and who was the one who would give counsel, who was the one who would teach. He was the one who would argue with all the other theologians. He could argue and hold his own. He could set traps for you with the Word of God. He did not recognize Jesus. But this woman who was living a sinful lifestyle, who was secluded, not included in that, could not be a part of those things, she saw Him. She had heard about Him, and she came to where she knew He was. And there was no stopping her. There was no stopping her. And when Jesus begins to pull at your heart, there is no stopping you. Unless you are like the Pharisee. That is what you and Jesus need to do business with today. As you have listened to this, go back and read this scripture with your Bible open and your eyes lifted to heaven. And if He has never revealed Himself to you before, ask Him to reveal Himself. Ask Him to reveal your sins to you, that you may be forgiven and that you are no longer ashamed and the burden of your sin is gone. That He has taken it, that you understand that, and that His love floods over you and you see the robe of righteousness that He has placed upon you. And let me know if you're able to constrain yourself after that. Amen? Amen.